I'm wrestling, not weak for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? This is episode 104 of the T. Rowan Funky Show, brought to you as always by Defense Soap, Defend What You've Built, and Dahmer Mats. And Tommy, we took a week off. What's new with you?
Nothing much, my man. Hey, I gotta ask you before we continue: is it 104 or 103?
I did just look, so I have now made the habit of looking before every show. So yeah, we did. If you remember, we did two NCAA. We did the NCAA recap in two parts, which was episodes 102 and 103. Which episode 102? And so obviously, I'm just looking at the SoundCloud statistics. I can't actively look at our iTunes statistics. They're separate, but. As on our SoundCloud version, episode 102 is one of our most popular shows in a while. So that's always
like
positive. Yeah, you know, since that the Rogan show, our numbers have been bumped up a little bit, and then that's on SoundCloud, and I know our iTunes numbers are pretty good as well.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you for expanding on your podcast-o-matic circuit, and
thank you, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, man, life's been good. I mean, we're coming down off the NCAA high. A lot of coaching movement. We got World Cup to talk about. A lot of cool stuff. Kind of more gossipy stuff than actual results, if you will, though we got a few of those. But that's kind of what's been going on with me.
Well, I've been so busy, Tommy. Part of the reasons why we missed the episode last week is, you know, the last three weekends now, I had our youth state tournament, which was a Friday, Saturday. I had the USA Wrestling Folktale Nationals, which was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Easter was Sunday. And then this weekend I was at Flow Nationals. We left on Thursday. It's quite a drive to Pennsylvania. So Friday and Saturday, and finished our drive home on Sunday. So, I haven't watched the senior level wrestling, but I've been watching so much wrestling, it's ridiculous the last 3 weeks or so, which is... You know, it's really good time of year, and we had some really good results at every one of those tournaments. But it is a busy time of year, that's for sure.
It's a grind, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what I wanted to bring up with you first, because obviously you have, I would say, inside knowledge of the situation, and I think you have a good take on it. But let's go on this. Kyle Snyder signs with Rudess, and you know, no one pointed this out. But this is obvious to me because I know you guys really well, and I follow Rudess, and we talk frequently. But so you guys have chosen the path of sponsoring, I don't know if you call them ex-athletes, retired athletes, whatever you want to call it, Colette, myself, I believe Kenny Monday, X, Y, and Z. And so this is the first active competitor that you guys have chosen to sponsor. Obviously, since you're based pretty much out of Columbus, Ohio, I don't think anyone can make more sense than this. But so what was your guys' thought process in getting into the active sponsorship market, if that's what you want to call it?
Yeah, I think we really just react to the opportunities we think we can go get or have been presented to us. So I think, you know, we organically stumbled upon all of these relationships with wrestlers that have retired, or in the case of Dave Schultz, are deceased, just because we thought they represented the merits of the brand and the merits of the sport the way that we want the brand to be represented. So
sure.
That just happened naturally. And then, you know, obviously, Ben, then once it happened naturally three or four times, we realized the value of it and how it spoke to the sport of wrestling in a way that I think was different and authentic. So we simply did that for those reasons. But, and then, you know, indirectly, though, I think it started to create this brand standard where there was a certain type of person or a certain type of accomplishment that we wanted to be aligned with. And so it didn't come to the point until Kyle Snyder's, you know, in pending graduation, where we realized, you know, long before he graduated, that, like, hey, we should hold out for this opportunity and put our best foot forward and try to pursue this, because of all the reasons I just stated, Kyle represents the sport and our brand, I think, in the truest and authentic way. So he's a living example of what we want Rudess to be. And I think Rudess is a brand that he wants to be aligned with, and he showed that by signing with us. So, you know, it happened naturally, but also at the same time, it was intentional too. It wasn't just like we stumbled upon it. I mean, we wanted it, we went for it, but
yeah,
it's kind of a natural evolution on things that we've done with Dave Schultz, Colat, Monday, you, other folks. Just, it's kind of a brand standard at this point. Kyle obviously meets and exceeds that standard. That's no secret.
He's kind of good at wrestling. I was watching the World Cup, and you know, we had been texting a little bit yesterday, and I guess I'm going to tie this back into the Kyle Snyder sponsorship thing. But I was just watching the World Cup and thinking, when I competed in the World Cup in 2008, and literally, you couldn't find those matches online now if you tried. You couldn't watch them then.
Right.
I know you competed in a couple World Cups, and so to see how far the sport of wrestling has came, you know, that was a really solid production of the World Cup, especially the finals. Great crowd. In the last 10 years, there's just been such a gigantic step up in everything that's wrestling, and so what I'm going to test back to is including sponsorship. I mean, it's a great time to be a graduating college wrestler, but do you think, and I was trying to think, you know, I was thinking about John Smith, and you know, but then I'm thinking like, dude, in 1986 when he graduates, man, wrestling was just such a niche thing. There was no internet, there was no none of that stuff, that, you know, he wasn't that big of a deal, if you will. But do you think there's ever been a bigger deal coming out of college than Kyle Snyder?
I mean, you know, Ben, obviously I'm aware of Kyle's deal because I'm a owner in Rudess, and I think I'm aware of the landscape of sponsorship deals in the past 25 years, but I haven't been exposed to all of them. Just kind of.
Well, I'm just saying, so I'm not even talking about from a sponsorship perspective. Obviously, this would drive sponsorship, but I'm just saying as far, strictly speaking, like, how many people know about him? How many people like him? How many people are following him? That type of stuff.
And that's why it has value, right?
Because yes, absolutely.
What's happened in the past, you know, however many years, is that because of the digital age and the way that wrestling's covered and social media and everything in between, the visibility of our athletes, of our wrestlers, has changed where they can drive commercial value back to a business. I mean, John Smith
1,000%
was incredible. He was incredible, but he was kind of a mythical figure. I know that because I was a kid. I mean, I had a poster of him standing on top of planet Earth with a low cut, you know, red singlet. Uh-huh. And that's all I knew of him. I never heard him speak, never saw him wrestle. It was a mythical description of the guy. I knew he existed, but I didn't feel like I knew him.
Isn't that funny how things have changed? I mean, in such a short period of time world, as well.
Right. So in today's world, the fans of wrestling, the young wrestlers, the youth, all of these people, they can actually feel like they know Kyle Snyder. And because of that, he can drive value back to his sponsored partners, which means that he can drive a deal for himself. And so it's really cool to see all that transpire, and I think that's helping wrestling out in a big way. And it's not just Kyle Snyder, right? I mean, a lot of these guys have some deals in place. That,
most of the superstars, you know, have at least a decent deal on the table for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's good stuff. It's great that they can.
The other thing that you know, in just that 10-year period, where you're right that the wrestlers are now, it's absolutely a two-way street, Tommy, because as Rudess is going to promote Kyle Snyder, Kyle Snyder is going to promote Rudess. It goes two ways. And then obviously with all the extra content.
Right.
But just in the last 10 years, you think of our 2008 Olympic team, and I can tell you, because I know these guys for a fact, Henry Cejudo, myself, and Daniel Cormier, if there was a viable option to make a decent amount of money and keep wrestling, we all would have kept wrestling. There's just literally no doubt about it. And so that's what I think, you know, that's another reason that this brings value back to wrestling, is that we never had to see Jordan Burroughs leave wrestling. We never had to see David Taylor, Kyle Digg, Kyle Snyder leave wrestling. That's so gigantic, though.
I think the other, I think the other thing that's happening is that there's just more competition in the marketplace for companies like Rudis. And so with that increased level of competition and there's more players in the game, you know, usually the truth comes out more than not with, you know, the value of these guys and what they can bring. And so competition is always a healthy thing. And so I think that that's really helped these athletes out, is that there's more options. And when there's more options, there's people become more frantic to get what they think they need to build their business. And
yes,
if you're the only guy in town, you know, the town gets a little sleepy every now and again.
You ain't got to hustle that hard.
Yeah, so the town in wrestling right now is, it's not so sleepy. There's a lot of guys in the deal, and I think that's helping wrestling. And so I like that, right?
Absolutely. So, okay, last question, and we'll move on from Kyle Snyder, I promise, even though I'm sure this is intriguing to many. So, you know, one of the big things people are saying is that there's money left on the table because Brutus does not have a shoe yet. So do you got anything to tell us along those lines about a possible Kyle Snyder shoe or something?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really – I don't want to say
– Well, say whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle, we're all in on Kyle, and Kyle's all in on Rudis, and we're planning on doing some very special things. And, you know, our goal has been and continues to be to be the leading expression of wrestling worldwide from head to toe. And so, you know, we wouldn't be aligning with Kyle, and he wouldn't be aligning with us if we didn't have a big vision to do some pretty big things. And so we're really excited about it. I think that, you know, just – feel honored and privileged to be working with someone like Kyle. So, you know, and I think he feels the same way about working with us. So it's a partnership that is it's real, it's pure. And so we're going to try to keep that going and do some special things within the sport. But we've got to run our business, Ben, and he's got to go win wrestling matches. So we have sort of an interdependence with one another, but we have independent jobs and independent missions. So we're just trying to do our best with that and plan on doing some pretty exciting things.
Fantastic. Okay, well, that's good. So let's move on to next topic. And so again, those of you who listen to us, we know we don't do this live. What about Damian Hahn? So I'm sorry, so I was gonna give the context. It's Monday afternoon right now, or almost night. What do you guys think about Damian Hahn? Just literally, I mean, we're talking 45 minutes ago, got announced as a new head coach at South Dakota State. Well, what's your initial take on that?
My initial take is that I think South Dakota State needs a salesman at the helm, and they hired a good one in Damian Hahn, on top of a lot of other things that he can do well. But I think it's a good hire. South Dakota State has a lot of momentum thanks to the administration and Bono, and I think you need a spirited guy that can recruit and get talent on campus, and I think he's that kind of guy. Now, he doesn't have any head coaching experience, but everyone at some point that was a head coach didn't have any head coaching experience.
Yeah, so, remember Damian got mad at us because we said he was kind of getting, you know, and he obviously got the itch this year, but we said he was kind of getting pigeonholed into the assistant coach type of thing, you know, almost a little too old to start head coaching, and so.
Yeah,
maybe we can credit you to pushing him over the edge, Tommy.
Oh no, I think he's always had his sights set on something like this. If I'm not mistaken, he was also
a finalist, Tommy. He was a finalist in the Wisconsin job. He was one of the final three. Me, Bono, and him were the final three. So you know he made it really far in that interview process. So this is not the first job he's applied for this offseason.
I'll tell you the other thing that's interesting is that I think Damian's the type of guy that would not have taken just any head job.
Yeah.
He was, you know, because I think he had a great situation and really liked what he did at Cornell. I know it's a good town. So the fact that he chose South Dakota State as much as they chose him, that, you know, I think that speaks to the opportunities, what he thinks is going on there. Because I think he's had some deals that he kind of walked away from.
Okay.
And so choosing to be at South Dakota State just says a lot. I think his wife's from Minnesota too, so that probably helps.
Well,
closer to family.
Yeah, and obviously he did, you know, he went to college in Minnesota, so he was there. Did he stay afterwards in Minnesota and train? I'm trying to recall You know, there's a few.
Yeah,
years
he did, man. Yeah, he trained. He trained. He trained through 08. So
he was. I mean, essentially, he lived in Minnesota for damn near a decade.
He was an alternate to Cormier in 08.
Yes,
I know that.
How many times did you and Damian wrestle?
We wrestled, I want to say, twice. He beat me at the U.S. Open for third right out of college. And then I beat him at the Olympic Trials that same year. And I think it was twice. I'm pretty sure it was twice. We worked out a lot, trained a lot. We're on some cadet junior world team together and stuff like that. So he and I are pretty friendly with one another to this day.
Nice.
And I'm happy for him. I'm excited.
And so, you know, obviously we know with South Dakota State, Bono took Reeder to Wisconsin. And I don't know if you heard this. And let me get your take on this, too, before we go back to South Dakota State. So Bono took Reeder, so that, you know, the head and the head assistant both leave from South Dakota State. So, you know, Damian's got to bring some of his own staff. But Bono also hired, who did he say? Oh, Matt McDonough. Which I thought that was an interesting hire. You know, I didn't know there was a relationship there, and maybe there wasn't. Maybe it was just, hey, I need a lightweight.
I think it's an interesting hire. It's definitely not a bad one. I think that I don't think there's a relationship there. I think Bono is trying to round out his staff. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's got himself. It looks like he still works out to this day. Reeder's kind of works out those 74 through probably even 97. And
well, you know, heavyweights
really
are easy to coach.
That's right. And then you got McDonough down there low. The other thing is McDonough's from the area, right? So I think he's
well
respected. Well,
he's from Iowa, not Wisconsin. There's a big difference there.
Well, I know that, but I think Bono and Reeder's like, I'm going to take care of Wisconsin. We're going to take care of that.
Yeah.
And then that's a high priority. And then we've got McDonough to help us out in Iowa, and we'll go help ourselves out in Illinois and Minnesota and kind of go from there, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously as far as being credentialed is concerned, you know, the guy was a three-time finalist, two-time champion. And, you know...
So here's a better question, too, Ben. Who do you think Han will bring to South Dakota?
Well, that's...
Do you think take somebody from Cornell?
Sure. I was going to come back to that. I mean, I think it's going to be a tough sell if... Because most of Cornell staff is New York guys, man. That's going to be a hard sell to move to South Dakota State. If I were him, I'm going to pick...
I'd pull a Minnesota guy.
That's exactly what I would do. Because, essentially,
Brookings
is on the border of Minnesota. You need someone to recruit those kids, especially as good as Pinnacle's getting the Minnesota kids right now. And, you know, and then, obviously, on top of that, they just had... they got Peyton Robb, and they got... Oh, shoot. Who's the other kid they got, Tommy? South Dakota State.
I don't know.
Oh my gosh!
I don't know.
South Dakota State wrestling recruits. So anyway, they had two really super tough Minnesota kids.
Hey Ben, can you tell me and most of our listeners where South Dakota State is geographically in the state?
It's right on the Minnesota border.
Like, so it is. And
hey, our listeners need to stop being so freaking lazy and go look it up.
Okay.
Get off your butts. They got a phone in their hand or something right now. So, okay, I will give you the geographic layout, though. And now I need to make sure I'm correct so I'm not sounding an idiot. But I do believe, yep, I am correct. So I looked it up. So it is about an hour north to Sioux Falls on the Minnesota-South Dakota border. So you're due south to Fargo. You're straight north to Omaha. You know, and so that's the area you got to recruit out of. You got to go down that line over to Minnesota. But Minnesota has a lot of really, really, really high level wrestling going on right now. So what I was gonna say about Peyton Robb, so they got Peyton Robb and Alex Lloyd, both really big time Minnesota recruits. You know, if you get someone from Minnesota they're comfortable with, you're gonna keep them on staff essentially. And so, you know, I don't know if you're looking at a Jason Ness type.
How far is it from Minneapolis?
Can't be more than 2.5-3 hours, I wouldn't imagine.
I wonder if,
something to that effect.
Yeah, Jared Lawrence has got too much going on.
Jared Lawrence ain't leaving, man. They're kicking butt and taking names. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I could see someone like a Jason Ness. You know, he's coaching in some role over there. You know,
the other thing is, yeah, you get a Jason Ness and keep him in place for Gross, and then you can add Gross to your staff the next year if you had like.
That's totally true. Well, you know what though? I think I would have to guess. You know, from what I've heard, South Dakota State has a pretty good booster situation. And, you know, as active as Seth Gross is, I got to assume he's going to want to continue to compete. So if you can put him on some kind of stipend, get him to keep competing. And so, you know, he's not maybe not even an official coach, but he's around the program, et cetera. But then on the other side, I have to imagine that Bono is going to try to get Seth Gross to come to Wisconsin after a year and be.
I would agree. I mean, I would agree with that.
So you're going to have some competition.
Right.
So, let's see. So, I guess Jason Ness is not an official coach. I don't even know what role exactly he has that I know he's around.
Well, there's a lot of qualified Minnesota guys.
Dustin Schrader and Zach Sanders are the other guys that are officially on staff beyond Eggman and Luke Becker.
Yeah, there's some options there. You also got some Iowa brethren down there that might be good for getting in.
I'm really interested
now that I think about it. I mean, I'm interested to see who he takes.
I also heard Luke Becker and Ryan Morningstar were in the finals, if you will, for this South Dakota State job.
Gotcha.
But I think those guys are in a position where they wouldn't want to leave where they're at unless they were, for some reason, best friends with Damian Hahn or something, which, you know, I don't know all those. Those guys are about 3 years older than me, so I don't know all those relationships. Yeah, and then, you know, the other job that this is a lot closer to your neck of the woods, so I don't know if you have any insight into, but West Virginia opened up, and you know, you were arguing, I don't know if we were just on the phone or if we were on the podcast, that you thought that was a better job than Wisconsin.
Were we on the podcast or were we on the phone? We were on the podcast. I said I thought West Virginia is better than Wisconsin. I got in a group text with my buddies, and I said, Ben thinks I'm a clown for thinking that West Virginia is better than Wisconsin. What do you guys think? And they all said, you're a clown.
Ah, yes.
So then I started to think more about it, and I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I get pretty excited about my opinions, and Wisconsin is a better job. But I guess one that I got too competitive on is that I think West Virginia is a really good job.
I would not have disagreed with you in any way, shape, or form, because I agree with you that's a good job. But
I don't know who's in the running, but I think it's a good job, man, for a lot of reasons.
Well, let me ask you this, Tommy. I always try to get you to divulge inside information. With it not being that far from Columbus, are any of the Ohio State assistants interested in it?
You're not going to believe me when I say this, but I really don't know. I've been grinding the axe for the past 2.5 weeks, either on vacation or at work. So I haven't talked to those guys.
Because, like, you know, like Jaggers is an Ohio guy. He's very highly thought of. That's someone I could see doing a good job in that position.
No doubt. Travell, Jaggers.
Travell, exactly. Yep, there's another one.
There's... I really don't know. I know that they did a press release that Coleman Scott won't pursue that job. Waynesburg is very close to Morgantown.
I saw that's his hometown.
So,
but I thought that, for me, that's a very lateral step. West Virginia to...
I would say that North Carolina and West Virginia is lateral. And to me, that speaks on how good the West Virginia job is.
Because North Carolina is a good job.
It's Coleman's hometown, so I'm sure there was some speculation that might have been costing him on the recruiting front that he had to clear the air.
To your point, Waynesburg to Morgantown is, it can't even be an hour. I mean, I know it's not far.
I think it's closer than that.
Possibly even closer to that, and I don't know exactly, but it ain't far. Because Morgantown, I know we did that duel a couple times where we wrestled West Virginia and Pittsburgh, and that wasn't much more than an hour.
Right. So, no, it's a recruiting hotbed. It's a big university, fully funded. You've got the Milan Olympic Hopeful Pharmaceutical Program. They've got a donor base. There's a lot of things there, a lot of pieces there that somebody can really leverage.
Yeah. Okay. So neither of us have any inside information on that job.
What about Cleveland State? Have you heard of it? Cleveland State's kind of
That's what Jagger should take. That's his city.
Yeah. I mean.
I would have to assume, and this is, you know, you could, again, maybe you have inside information, but I got to assume they don't have the funding to bring in a big name like that.
I don't think they've called him, and that quite honestly blows my mind.
So do you think they just don't care, or they know they can't afford him? Or
I'll just leave it at that. They haven't called him,
so they don't care. I mean, that sounds like they don't care.
That blows my mind. Right. So, anyways,
man, Tommy, you would think
plenty of good candidates.
Okay, wait, who's the candidates? I don't even know.
I don't know. I just know there's a lot of people out there that would take the job.
Who has actually showed interest in it? That would be a high level guy.
I don't know who's shown interest. I know Dave Boyard's looking for a job. He did a heck of a job at Eastern Michigan.
And where in Ohio is he from?
I can't believe I'm drawing a blank here.
Oh, my gosh. You don't know Ohio, and that's your era, dude.
I am ashamed right now.
What is David Boyard's hometown? Is he from Elyria?
Ah, gosh. Where did Boyard go to high school?
Okay, wait. Oof. Let me just ask you this, Tommy. You know, what we just talked about with the last two programs, South Dakota State and West Virginia, they both have a big donor base, you know, are very well supported,
right.
not just from the institute, you know, the institution, but outside of it. Okay, Cleveland, freaking, that's a wrestling town, and there's got to be at least a little bit of money there. How has no one stepped up and said, I'll be your guy?
If I was the head coach at Cleveland State,
yes,
I would say, I don't care if we have a good donor base or not. There's a lot of people that love Cleveland wrestling. Even if they didn't go to, they just are so proud.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like you do the donor base is the city.
That's what I'm saying. How do they not have somebody?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
What do you think about Andy Rovat? What do you think? Am I crazy with that one or what?
Andy Rovat, he might want it. Michael Zicky's running the wrestling factory down there. He's got some college coaching experience. He's from Cleveland, born and raised.
Yeah.
Well,
Klizicki and Rovat are buddies, so if Rovat got the job at Cleveland, then Klizicki could funnel them all the guys.
Two St. Ed's graduates, born and raised in the freaking, not even the suburbs of Cleveland, born and raised in Cleveland, those two. That is, you know, that's compelling.
Let's go, Rovat. Get on it.
Boyer got the MAC Coach of the Year, didn't he?
Yeah, that seems like, you know, I haven't done, I'm not doing the investigative reporting that some people are.
Right.
Man, just from reading the few articles that they've written, it seems like that's a freaking disaster. It really does. It seems like they're trying to cover up some stuff. They're getting sneaky. Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know where to go on that one. It looks ridiculous.
That's right.
Yeah, David Boyer. Right. I mean, that would frankly be a really good choice for them because I'm sure he's got a great relationship with at least a few of the guys that he was coaching at Eastern Michigan.
Well, one of the Moores is probably applying for the job that worked for Ben Stahura.
And his brother's doing a really good job at Lockhaven. His brother Josh is doing a really good job at Lockhaven. They had a good year this year.
Yeah.
In national finals, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of movement. Every year there's a lot of movement. We got programs getting added, programs getting dropped, coaches getting fired, coaches retiring. Dwayne Goldman retires, they hire Angel.
Yeah. How did we not bring that one up yet? I feel like an idiot for not saying that.
What's that?
Okay, David Boyard is from Springfield High School in Akron, Ohio. So that ain't Cleveland, but it's close enough.
Akron is close enough. Close enough, man.
Hey, just get LeBron to be your sponsor, for God's sakes.
What's that?
Get LeBron to be your sponsor.
Well, that's the way you should be thinking, man. LeBron went to Akron, St. B, St. M. He's friendly with the Hurley brothers. The head coach of Cleveland State, the Hurley brothers wrestled at Cleveland State. He's like, hey, when can I have my dinner with LeBron? Let's go. It's time for him to donate. That's what I'd be saying.
Would you, Ben? And then after LeBron, I'd be going after Dan Gilbert. That's the guy that Quicken Loans Arena is I would say his company is named after Cleveland guy. I think he's worth a couple $1 billion.
There
you
is
know,
a lot.
A couple
a
million ain't
going
to be much to him.
There is a lot of prominent businessmen in the greater Cleveland area that didn't go to Cleveland State that are fans of wrestling that would support the program if they felt the momentum
well,
and the mojo.
Tommy,
going.
we have a Cleveland based supporter of our program.
Who's that?
Oh my God, you're Tommy, you're gonna lose us our damn sponsor. You're gonna lose us our sponsor right now.
No.
Our main sponsor, Defense Soap. That's Cleveland, baby.
Guy Seiko wrestled at Cleveland State. And, so we got that. Yeah.
He wrestled at
so
Cleveland State. I didn't know that. I knew his kids went to St. Ed's.
Yeah. He told me that we keep forgetting to invoice him for our sponsorship this year, so I gotta try
to. Well, now he ain't gonna pay it now that you forgot about him.
I know. Anyway,
well, so I would go. So if I got the job at Cleveland State, my first 2 years, I'd go LeBron, then Dan Gilbert, then Guy Seiko.
That's right. That's probably the order you need to go in. There's so many, man. It really is a job, and it's a great job in an entrepreneurial way. If somebody says, "I want a project," that is a project in a good way, not a like, "Holy cow, are you sure you want to do that?" kind of way.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm excited to see who they hire, and I would be excited to do it. I mean, honestly, it'd be fun. So.
Okay, so let's talk about. You brought up Dwayne Goldman, which I forgot. That's fantastic. Thank God that reign is finally over.
I'll be brutal
and say it.
Anyway.
Angel Escobedo is young. He's younger than me. I want to say he's 2 or 3 years younger than me.
Obviously, he's
an Indiana grad. 30
or 29 or 30?
Working there from the state of Indiana. From what I've seen him around, very well liked, lots of energy. I got to think he's going to make a difference, don't you?
I gotta think he's gonna make a difference, but he is gonna make a difference. I think he's got to surround himself around a staff that offsets the perception that other recruiting people are gonna say, where it's like, "Hey, there's a young guy, doesn't have any head coaching experience, stumbled into the job because he's Goldman's boy." And so I think that if I'm Angel, and I'm friendly with Angel, I was so happy for him, congratulating him. It's like you need to hire an assistant that helps you combat that somehow, some way on the recruiting front, because he knows wrestling, he can sell, he's a good recruiter, he's from Indiana, all of those ingredients that make a great head coach, he's got them. But he's gonna have to fight that uphill battle because he's recruiting in the Big Ten, right? If he was recruiting out of another conference, I'd say, man, it's awesome. But I just want to see him get some assistance that, you know, kind of offset that a little bit, maybe.
Got it.
Some 40 to 50 year old assistants that have been around a while that help him.
Well, I got to assume that he's keeping Travis Pasco on. Travis is another assistant there. Hey, okay, so we talked about a lot. Pretty much all about coaching changes. Can I bring up something to you? And I just had a new thought about it today, and I want to get your feeling.
What do you got?
Well, okay. So Willie, I don't know if you saw last week, Willie Saylor goes on Twitter rants all the time, right?
Right.
And he was going off on this rant last week about how kids who are going to Blair and Sem aren't doing that well in college. You know, they're kind of like not improving upon where they're at in high school, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he also brought up the fact to me that the state of Illinois only had one Division I college All-American last year, which to me is like, I didn't realize it. It was a mind-blowing statistic because the Chicago area is so freaking tough, and they've been that way for – it's not like it's brand new and it hasn't trickled into college yet. They've been that way for damn near a decade.
Right.
And so, you know, I actually made a if you guys don't watch my Mental Mondays, and I know I get a lot of compliments on them at wrestling tournaments, so I think a lot of you watch the Mental Mondays on Facebook, but I kind of discussed it today, Tommy. It's about, you know, motivational.
Right.
For me, it's motivational. If you want to be better, if you're driven to be better, you're going to get better. You're not going to peak in high school. It's freaking impossible. And so the theory I want to pose to you, because you're intelligent, and I want to know what your opinion is. I was mulling through ideas in my head of why maybe these kids are burnt out, if you will. You know, I don't know if burnt out is the right topic, but you know, they don't have the drive to get better. I was thinking that some of these clubs, private schools – they're having so much high level competition. Their kids need to be mentally ready in week in and week out. And obviously, we know that that keeps you sharp and that gets you good for the time being. But I mean, I can just speak from personal experience because I didn't have that in high school, right? I wasn't from a tough wrestling state, and I traveled as much as possible. But the amount of tournaments that were available when I was in high school compared to today are just worlds apart. And
right.
So I had a really strong drive to continue to compete and continue to get better when I got to college. But I will tell you, during my mixed martial arts career, that got worn out. You know, I was so sick of competing, and I was disciplined enough to keep doing it. But, you know, I'm 25, 26, 27, 28 by this point. And so my level of discipline is super high. Right. Do you think the fact that a lot of these kids now who go to a Blair or a Sim or whatever and are driven to compete against really high-level competition week in and week out where they're going to be the best, do you think that wears them out?
No, because of your first comment that it is a state of mind. And
sure.
So burnout, I don't think burnout really exists. Either you want to do what it takes to succeed at the next level or you don't. It's not that you have a certain amount of miles in the gas tank mentally.
But you said that before, Tommy. You said during your college seasons you were just so ready to be done by the end of it. You know what I'm saying?
But again, it's a state of mind. I'm not proud. You know, I'm not proud to say that my state of mind was getting tapped. You know what I mean? But is that because you were
competing against too high level competition frequently, or you know what I'm saying? Or maybe competing in practice against high level competition, because those kids that are Blair or Sam are, they're wrestling at a very high level in the room every single day.
I think there's partial truth to what you're saying.
I'm trying to talk through all angles of this. I think that
being burnt out is a mindset. Mentally burnt out. Physically, you can be physically like tapped out for a lot of reasons. But I think that to Willie's point that he made, and you know, he made it on Twitter, which means that he couldn't really explain himself. At least I didn't listen.
Well, I had this conversation with him before Nationals, though.
But I really think what it is that these guys at the high school level receive a high level of coaching and instruction, and they receive a high level of exposure to elite competition and elite coaching. That when they receive it in college, they don't get the exponential benefit that other guys do. So it looks like they don't rise to their potential. But what I think is really happening is they're achieving a lot of it at high school where most kids are not, because of what they're exposed to. That's my take on it.
Yeah. So in my mental mind, I was disagreeing with that point, Tommy, because I know a lot of people say that, but I disagree.
Right.
The reason I was disagreeing with that point is I brought up Jordan Burroughs because I've been watching him since the beginning, and I brought up, hey, he won a Hodge Trophy in 2011, which is essentially the highest level of folkstyle wrestling that exists, right?
Right.
But year after year, and now maybe you could disagree, but he is getting on the older age spectrum of freestyle wrestling. He just kept getting better into his international career. And so it's like if a guy at
right,
that
but
level,
we can't. Well, then that's where I think all of this is mental, though, Ben. Because
yeah, well, that and so that's my exact things. Point. But so and then we're saying, and I think we're agreeing here. We're both saying it's absolutely a state of mind, right? And so now, yep. if we agree on that point, we have to say what causes that state of mind. Is it you know, having the right coaches that are pushing the right things? Is it having the right parents that are pushing the right things? Is it having the right teammates? Is it not competing enough?
Let
me ask you this, Tommy. If you took your 9-year-old and you said, I think you've done this, but if you said you're only competing in, say, 15 matches, he would say, Dad, but I want to wrestle more. I want to wrestle more, which I know what I did when I was a kid, right? 8th grade, 7th grade.
Right.
I want to wrestle more. Now, on the opposite side, you have to admit that there is some point where you would reach where he would say, I don't freaking want to wrestle any more matches. You know, like,
that's right. That's
if you
exactly
say made him
right.
wrestle 300
why,
matches, he's going to say, I don't
I
want
agree.
Any more. So there's...
That's right. And so this is such a deep conversation that has a lot multiple levels, but I guess we are both agreeing with each other in our own ways, but to me, it is mental.
So what causes that? But what causes? What's the cause of that mental state?
That we're trying to make a generalization. That's what Willie's trying to do, and we keep using exceptions to counter argue the generalization.
But no, that's not totally true. So if we did a study, right? Say we do a study on this. What's causing burnout? Because we're both agreeing that getting better is a mental state, and if you don't have that mental state, you're not going to get better. That we've established that, correct?
Right.
Okay. So what causes that mental state is kind of what we're talking about here. So
mental state to always want to continuously improve and never be burned out.
Correct. And so that's not, you're right that it's not a one size fits all. Every kid's not the same. That's totally true. I get that, Tommy. And so so what we're talking about is if we did a study of 1,000 kids, we'd have, say, you know, and every kid isn't going to be just one factor. Every kid's going to have multiple factors. And so if we say check, you know, if we made a list of 15 things and say check everyone that applies to you, out of that 1,000, 600 kids are going to say this, 500 kids are going to say this, right? And you're going to have, so, you know, we have to talk in generalizations because we're not talking about one specific kid. So what do you think would be the most likely cause to this, the largest number of those things?
I think, it's hard to say, but I think that there's different sources of motivation out there that we all have. We all have different sources of motivation within us depending on what we're doing. And the motivation to generate a result, to me, it's finite and it's not perpetual, right? So if you're motivated to achieve a result, when you get that result, it's hard to continue to be motivated. But I think the people that are really special and never burn out, it's almost like they got an endless thirst for the sport. They're motivated by something. It's not that they're not motivated by the result, but they're motivated by other things that have to do with the sport. And I think that's, you know, whether it's they're inspired by the thought to continuously improve. They're curious to learn more. They're curious to see if they can be better. So there's all those different motivations. And I think that the one motivation that a lot of people are motivated predominantly by is a result, and to me, that's where you get a perceived burnout. But it's not that they're burnt out; they're just not motivated enough for the next rung on the ladder.
Yeah. So okay. So do you think? Okay. So let me ask this again. I get the.
What
fact.
Are you doing to me right now, Askren?
I want to go deep. I'm trying to go deep. I need someone to bounce it off. I value your opinion, and we might as well let the world hear it.
All right, are we going deep or not? I think we are deep.
We're already deep. We might go deeper. Who knows?
Right.
I got a hot date with my wife, so, you know, who knows?
Okay. All right, so let's keep going. I like it.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You're a dad. And you get to choose where your son's going to go to school. Okay?
Right.
And let's just say you, let's say money's not an issue, distance is not an issue. We're just strictly talking about competitive environments, whatever. And then we're thinking next level success. We're not thinking now success. And we've established the fact that to continue to get better, you need to be highly motivated to do so. Do you think the fact that kids at Wyoming Sem or a Blair, in today's wrestling environment where you have, Tommy, if you wanted to, you can compete in a tough tournament every single weekend of freaking every single week throughout the year, okay? And then when you're at one of those schools, you're having many, many, many really tough competitions week in and week out and day out in the practice room. And then so when we also talk about the Chicago area, same thing there. Those kids are freaking battling every single week because there's so many tough kids there. Do you think would you be inclined to send your kid to that type of environment, or do you think that would cause burnout? And this is, I don't have my answer to this because this is the first day I've really been considering this.
I think that, you know, this is where wrestling gets, life for that matter, gets very, very, very interpretive and philosophical. But
Well, if we had enough money and time, we could actually study this.
If my son was truly, if he was truly intrinsically motivated, the way that I find the most, the purest motivation to be, which is, I just want to be the best I can be in what I do all the time. Not I want to win the state, but I'm motivated to be the best version of myself. I know that sounds cliche and cheesy, but if I thought my 14-year-old son was intrinsically motivated in that way, I don't think it would help him or hurt him. But the thing is, man, is we're talking about a 14-year-old kid. How many 14-year-olds are intrinsically motivated?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say not many.
Not that many.
So
they're motivated by, say, peer pressure, looking good,
right,
getting
so,
on flow.
So, let me finish my thought. So they're not that. So your son, he likes wrestling, but he's not intrinsically motivated. You put him in this environment that is essentially, you know, a little bit more cookie cutter and robotic. Kind of
cutthroat, a little bit cutthroat. I mean, you got to perform at a high level all the time,
right? So, and he hasn't yet developed that intrinsic motivation. Perhaps he associates the sport of wrestling with a robotic, you know, process that's not as fun as maybe wrestling with your buddies from your town.
Mm,
and so
that was pretty deep.
I think it's a little bit of a. It's very interpretive. It's very philosophical. I mean,
yeah,
I love St. Ed's wrestling. I love St. Paris Graham. Jeff Jordan's my business.
Well, St. Ed's has obviously had a lot of. I mean, they've had an All American at Division I level for 34 years in a row.
That doesn't mean that they've over or underachieved in relation.
Well,
to what
you'd
those
have
guys
to study.
Like
yeah, you'd have
school.
To study their program more, but nevertheless,
right,
it's an impressive statistic.
I just think that there's pluses and minuses to both sides. You know what I mean? There's And that's where I feel like it is mental. It does come down to the individual.
Yeah.
But I think if someone's truly, if they're truly intrinsically motivated, the only thing is, you know, a physical ailment, you know, from getting close to the prize, you know, that they associate themselves with. But there's not that many, tossing around the term intrinsic motivation, it's like, how many people are intrinsically motivated, Ben, in high school wrestling? I'd say 1 in 100, maybe, wouldn't you?
Are intrinsically motivated in high school wrestling?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, again, so we're talking multiple motivators. So I guess we'd be saying this is their primary motivator, is intrinsic?
Right.
I'd like to say it's more than that. I mean, I deal with high school kids every day. I'm sure hoping it's more than that.
Yeah, but maybe
seems,
in your club,
it seems
it's
like
one,
it's more
it's
than
one
that.
And two. That's because you're coaching an elite club. I'm talking about the kids that freaking don't even want to work on Thursday because they don't want to call off their shift. They don't want to call off their shift at McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
How many of those kids? That's not intrinsically motivated.
You're right.
Right?
You're right. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Damn it. So when I brought this up, I was trying to kind of isolate one factor in this discussion, but obviously now you're.
Well,
you're proving the point that it's impossible to isolate one factor because this is a discussion that has just so much to it. There's no way you can isolate one factor. It's impossible.
What Willie did, and he only did it in a couple characters, but what he did was he tried to make a very gray situation. He tried to make it black and white, and I don't think that's right or fair. And he might not think that. It's hard to establish on Twitter, but it's like, listen, you know, there's a lot of reasons that It's just not black and white.
Yeah,
it's just not.
Okay, so man, Tommy, I feel like that we could have this discussion for like another hour. I don't know. I think people would enjoy hearing it. So why don't you and I? Because I don't believe there's any really high level wrestling competitions. We did not discuss the World Cup, but whatever. So maybe you and I hit this topic again, say next week or something, and we just talk about it
I think we should. I think we should hit one topic because when we talk about the mental and emotional side of elite athletic performance,
You're right.
I think we should take one topic.
So the topic
and stand on it.
Okay, here's the topic. Topic would be, does achieving an extremely high level of proficiency in high, at a younger age, benefit or detract from long-term success? And now, obviously, that can go 57 different directions. I get it. So let's just start with that and then see where we go.
Well, we have to pose the question and not drift off from it. So it's almost like you and I got to write it out, because we always got to say, so in the next podcast, we got to say, hey, let's focus.
Well,
back to the question.
I think maybe we just put, maybe like we put a post-it note in front of each of us where it says the question. And so we both stay on, you know, realize that we got to keep coming back to that topic and making sure the arguments that we're drifting off to are continuing to relate to that topic. Because that's kind of a tiny bit of the topic we had today. And I got a hot date to go on my wife. It's our 8-year anniversary. I know you have stuff to do tonight also. So, well, let's pose that question on the next podcast and let's just talk for as long as we can talk and just keep trying to draw back to that, because honestly, this is a question I don't have an answer to. I just started thinking about it today, and I understand without studying it in depth and being able to interview people and do statistics, I won't have a real answer. But I think you and I can at least talk it out to where we might have a decent idea.
I agree. I know what we're going to arrive at. We're not going to arrive at a concrete answer, but we'll probably arrive at some type of funneled down and filtered down mission statement from T-Row and Funky that's like, here, this is what we think the answer is.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, man.
All right, Tommy. Have a great night.
Later, brother.
See you. You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show, and it is brought to you by Defense Soap. Defend what you've built. Tommy, I got to say, I tried these products. He shipped me a box. I love them. I've had ringworm issues for a long time. I'm looking forward to putting these in my repertoire and hoping the ringworm does not come back ever.
No doubt, Ben. And to top that off, the company was created by wrestlers. Guy Sako wrestled at Cleveland State University. His son was an All-American in Virginia, so these people really get it. They know what the wrestling community needs.